Good day, everyone, and thank you all for joining this Family Separation and the Path to Family Unity Kind Briefing. As a reminder, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode, but after today's prepared remarks, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. Also, a reminder, today's session is being recorded. And now to get us started, I am pleased to turn the floor over to President of Kids in Need of Defense, Ms. Wendy Young. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you, everyone, for joining us to discuss the ongoing efforts to reunite families torn apart under the Trump administration's zero tolerance policy. In total, more than 5,400 children were separated from their families by the prior administration. Of those, more than half, or about 2,800, were taken from their parents between May 7th and June 26th of 2018, when a federal court ruled the policy unlawful and ordered the government to stop. The youngest of those children was just 4 months old at the time of separation and 6 months old when he appeared in immigration court with his kind attorney. This was a crisis of unspeakable magnitude and devastation. Children and parents were separated without appropriate systems in place to ensure their reunification. The reality is that some may never see each other again, but at Kind, we're working every day to make sure that as many families as possible can be reunited and made whole again with the support and resources that they need to begin their new life in safety. Since the first days of this crisis, Kind has led groundbreaking efforts to reunite separated children with their families and address the far-reaching consequences of separations. Since 2017, we've helped more than 1,500 individuals who were affected by family separation. Kind was one of the first organizations to deploy attorneys on an emergency basis to the Port Isabel Detention Center to meet with parents incarcerated there and ascertain what had happened when they arrived at the border. As soon as we were able, we then began to facilitate reunifications between separated parents and children. We've provided legal screenings and representation to the kids and their families. We've connected children and families with vital social services to help address the trauma stemming from this incredibly cruel policy. And at every opportunity, we have advocated and continue to advocate for safeguards to prevent harmful and unnecessary separations from ever happening again in the future. One of the most significant developments of the past year, of course, was the Biden administration's decision to establish a family reunification task force to find parents still separated from their children. To date, more than 100 families, we're pleased to announce, have been reunified thanks to those efforts, and hundreds more are in the reunification process. Kind has supported the task force since its inception and is leading efforts to find parents. In recent months, together with the United Nations Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, supported by the U.S. State Department's Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration, Kind launched a hotline and help desk to find and serve families who have yet to be reunited. Through this effort, we answer separated parents' questions regarding family reunification in English, Spanish, Portuguese, and several Central American indigenous languages. If we cannot reach a family, we work with our NGO partner, Justice in Motion, which searches literally village by village in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and Mexico to find families. I'm pleased to report that between September 2021 and this week, Kind has contacted 422 families and registered 337 of those on the task force website, together.gov. This is an essential first step to reunifying these families and ensuring that the lasting effects of their separation are addressed. In addition to locating and representing those separated by the last administration, Kind has also established essential programming for these families, who now face uncertain futures as they rebuild their lives after 3 or more years apart. While Kind cannot undo the wrongs of family separation, the services that we provide, including those focused on legal representation, mental health services, stability and justice, help to make it possible for separated families to reunite and reestablish their lives in safety. During today's briefing, you'll hear from two members of the Kind team who will provide a deeper look into our work and into the enduring pain that stems from family separation. I want to note that, as you know, we were scheduled to be joined by a separated father who was reunited with his 6-year-old daughter last month. Unfortunately, we learned this morning that he's ill today and unable to join us, but he will be available for interviews in the days ahead if and when his health improves. I also want to note that Megan McKenna from our communications team can coordinate interviews with him or other families who have been reunited with their children, so please do follow up with her if that's of interest. For today, however, our first speaker is Leslie Tayez, a Kind Family Outreach Supervisor who is located in Guatemala. We are pleased that she can join us today to detail a bit more about Kind's work to locate separated families in Central America and Mexico. Then you'll hear from Jennifer Podkel, Kind's Vice President for Policy and Advocacy. Jen will detail Kind's work to put in place safeguards and policies that can prevent future separations. So I will turn it over to Leslie at this point. Leslie, please take it away.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. My name is Leslie Tayez. I'm a lawyer from Guatemala, and I'm pleased to be part of Kind's Family Reunification Program with a team of 14 members with three more hires onboarding next month, fulfilling my role as a family outreach supervisor. I want to share our efforts in this program to conduct outreach to families the U.S. government forcibly separated between January 20, 2017 and January 20, 2021. We are reaching out to families in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Mexico, and other countries. We introduced the Family Reunification Task Force program to the parents and explained their options to return and reunify with their children in the United States. We screened them for eligibility for the program before registering them on the taskforcetogether.gov website to begin their reunification cases. So every day I plan the calls that I will make to the families. I start very early in the morning for those cases in which the families are from remote places in Guatemala and that I know they will go to work. So sometimes I'm able to reach a family very quickly, but in some cases it takes many attempts to reach someone. So I send texts and leave messages, I speak to relatives or neighbors who try to help me reach the parent, and try to call on different days at different times. Most parents feel very grateful for the opportunity to return to the United States and reunite with their children. But many still need time to build confidence in the process and to make plans for return. Given that many of their circumstances have changed significantly since their separation 3 or 4 years ago, so in all cases, I try to listen carefully to what they say about the program and patiently answer each of their questions because the priority in our work is to build trust. In this process, we have some challenges and success. Some of challenge many is that many separated parents speak only indigenous Guatemalan language, requiring scheduling calls with the interpreters. So we have the NGO Cielo as a partner who provides interpreters. And as I said, we will be incorporating 3 team members who speak Mam, Cachiquel, Quiche, and Sotohil, besides the Spanish. Another challenge is that contact information for families is no longer valid or working in some cases. So it can take multiple calls or reaches communication with other families to reach a separated parent. Families are also located in remote areas where access to contacts such as phone lines and the internet is inconsistent or reliable. So our partner Justice in Motion and their Defender Network in Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and Mexico strengthen Kind's outreach efforts, locating parents through physical underground searches in their communities and registering some cases. Another is that some families we have registered for the reunification program are at heightened risk and need protection and humanitarian assistance to address their needs because they had received threats, extortion, or have been victims of violence by armed groups, criminal gangs, or other non-state actors. So by referring those cases to UNHCR, we had succeeded in protecting parents from threats and challenging situations in their countries of origin because UNHCR contacts the family immediately. Also, KIND has launched a help desk where separated families can access accurate, timely, and trusted information. Some parents need more information about the reunification pathway put in place by the Biden administration. So the helpline works from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Guatemala's time, and is attended by KIND staff who answer basic and complex legal questions to aid families in their registration process. We are currently providing help desk assistance in multiple languages, including Spanish, Mam, Acateco, Canjobal, two variations of Chuj, Kekchi, Quiche, Popti, and Portuguese. So I want to share an example of a case of a separated family KIND is helping from Quiche, Guatemala. I spoke to a father who was separated from his 16-year-old son in 2017. It was a challenge to reach him, and I had to make multiple attempts because he works in agriculture and didn't have good connectivity. So I was only able to reach him at 7 a.m. When we spoke at first, the father was overwhelmed and had many questions about the reunification process. He needed someone to listen to him patiently in order to provide him with peace of mind. So we spoke several times because he needed some time to process all the information. And finally, after taking time to create trust with the father, and when I had answered all his questions about the process, I helped him register in the together.gov portal to begin his reunification case. He and his wife were so excited because since October 2017, they have only been in touch with their son by WhatsApp. And the idea to see him and hug him again was so exciting. I also referred the case to Seneca Family of Agencies, an important partner organization that is providing families with behavioral health and other support. And they immediately got in touch with the family and provided them with psychological support to help them navigate the great emotions they all were feeling. The father now is still in his home country and working through the process with IOM. So I need to say that being part of the reunification program and KIND makes me feel helpful in providing hope for the separated families to be together again and giving them the support they need and deserve. KIND is working on many fronts to make sure all families are reunited and have a chance to access safety. We know this is vital to help separated families after all the pain and suffering they have endured. We will not rest until this work is done. So thanks for listening.
Thank you, Leslie. Jennifer, would you like to jump in?
Thanks, Wendy. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. You know, so far you've heard about the significant steps that the administration has taken to right the wrong of the zero tolerance policy. And you've also heard a little bit about the trauma that can result from needless separation. And then you've heard about the amazing efforts that it takes my colleagues to try and reunite a family that was wrongly separated. And, you know, you've also heard that even for families who've been physically reunited, they still must have legal permanency to ensure that they can safely stay together and ensure that they're provided with the resources that are necessary to try and put their lives back together. You know, despite all of this, the underlying structures that paved the way for the large-scale separation of parents and children have not changed. Right? Families processed at the border are still at risk of being separated. And KIND has even witnessed several recent examples of children separated from their parents. So unless this administration and Congress take concrete actions to prevent separations like the ones you've heard about today, more families are at risk. So to ensure that children are not taken from their parents now and in the future, the Biden administration should enact clear and rigorous guidelines for when families are encountered that prioritize keeping the families together. Right? We think this administration should ensure that qualified child welfare professionals instead of a line border agent with no training, that the professionals are present at the border and that they participate in all the screening and processing of children and families. You know, it's crucial that these experts are licensed because that would ensure that they're bound by state licensing rules around promoting the best interest of the child in all the decisions that they're making. We think the Biden administration should establish accessible and transparent procedures for challenging family separation decisions that allow for rapid resolution of a contested case. So right now, there's no way for a parent to challenge a separation. So to ensure that any separation was appropriate and that a parent or a child's rights were not violated, there must be a process for a parent to be able to challenge the separation and for a neutral arbiter to review the separation decision. Finally, we want to make sure that the government carefully documents any instances of family separation and that they enhance their record keeping to make sure that children and their families can communicate with each other after separation, that they can quickly be reunited when it's appropriate, and that we don't end up in a situation where we have separated children lost in the system. So, you know, we're at this 1 year anniversary of the task force being created. And so I just wanted to preview a few of the next steps and where we're hoping that we'll see some action. You know, we're really still hopeful that Congress will act. KIND has endorsed the Families Belong Together Act that was introduced in both the House and the Senate. And that would give permanent legal status to families who are separated under the zero tolerance policy to ensure that they can remain safely together in the United States. Right now, families are being offered parole, but everybody's hoping that there would be a legislative change so that they can attain legal permanent status here in the United States and not have to fear being forced to go back to an unsafe situation. Now, KIND is also anxiously waiting for the task force's next set of recommendations to be delivered to the president. They were required from the Executive Order 14011 that created the task force. It mandated that 1 year after the task force was created, that the task force submit recommendations to the president on what else can be done to ensure separations don't happen in the future. KIND submitted a comment, which can be found on our website. We just submitted it yesterday to the task force's request for information, and it outlines our recommendations on what else they need to do to prevent future separations. We stand ready to continue to work with this administration to fulfill the task force's mandate and ensure humanitarian reception for children and families who are in need of safety. Thank you, and I'll turn it back to Wendy.
Thanks, Jen. And I think I hope you heard and realized from what our speakers are sharing that we've made progress, but there's still a tremendous amount of work in front of us, not the least of which is to make sure that the policies like zero tolerance are never put forward and implemented again. So with that, I will turn it back to our operator, Jim, to open the lines for any questions that you may have. Thanks.
Thank you. And to our audience joining today over the phone, if you would like to ask a question at this time, simply press star and one on your telephone keypad. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star and one if you would like to ask a question. Pressing star and one will place your line into a queue, and we'll take your questions in the order they are received. And a friendly reminder that if you're joining us today on a speakerphone, please return to your handset prior to pressing star and one to be certain that your signal does reach our equipment. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star and one, and we'll take our first question from Micah Rosenberg at Reuters. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks so much. I just had two questions. One of them was that you said that you had seen examples of kids being separated at the border now. I was wondering if you could go into a little bit more detail on what you're seeing and kind of, you know, any numbers on that. And then the second question is that I saw in the Biden administration's, you know, task force report that they have this number of children whose parents have been contacted, but, you know, who are not currently in the process for reunification. And I was just wondering if you could give a little bit of detail about that group. Is it that, you know, they've already been found through litigation or for other reasons, and they're deciding whether or not to go through with a reunification, or they still need to be told about the process. Sort of who is in that group of parents that are still separated, have been contacted, but are not in the process of reunification yet.
Thanks for those questions. Jen, do you want to kick us off with a response, and Leslie can add if she has anything to add?
Sure. Happy to answer the question about those still being separated at the border. You know, as an organization dedicated to children's rights, we think the safety of the children has to be paramount at every stage of interaction with the government, right? So there may be an instance in which it is deemed unsafe for a child to remain with the adult with whom they've traveled, or there may be questions of relationship or, you know, proof of documentation. So, you know, the government still retains right to do conduct a separation if that's really going to be in the best interest of the child. Some of the separations that we have seen, though, do not there's no evidence that that was done because it was in the best interest of the child, that it was about concerns of past immigration status or the adult's past and not exactly what is related to the child's best interest in that moment. In terms of numbers, you know, the border is still closed for the most part for kids and families seeking protection. So we don't have very high numbers, and I don't know if we are going to truly see what kind of impact, you know, keeping these flexible policies around separation would have until the border is reopened. You know, Title 42 is ended, MPP is ended, that we'll really see how devastating the current policies are for kids who are being separated. So I don't have complete numbers for you, but I suspect that this is a problem that will only grow when the border reopens, which is why it's imperative right now for the task force to address this moving forward. In terms of the second question about reasons why parents have not reunified but who have been contacted, Leslie is going to have a lot more information about that, but I think, you know, thinking about the comments she made about how much has happened to many of these families, like she said, many of them were separated 3 or 4 years ago. There's a lot to figure out if you think you're going to, you know, all of a sudden relocate again to another country. So there's a lot of decision-making and analysis that a family has to do to make that decision. But I'll stop here and turn it over to Leslie if she wants to add more detail.
Thank you. Yeah, there is some parents that don't fit in the eligibility standards of the program. So that's why we do the previous interview to them to know if they can apply for the program of the reunification. I'm sorry, I don't know if that answered your question.
And once again,
thank you.
That is star and one if you would like to ask a question. We'll hear next from Suzanne Moniak at Roll Call.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for having the call. I was just hoping to clarify a couple of the numbers that you mentioned. First, you said that more than 100 families have been reunited since September. Is that the same number as was disclosed in the January 5th status report in the Michelle case, or is that a more updated number? Have there been reunifications since that report? And if the latter, do you have that exact number of over 100?
Jen, do you want to take that one?
I don't, Suzanne, but we can get you that and send it to you afterwards.
And do you know if it's the same as what was provided in the status report, or if you guys have more recent data?
Suzanne, we can follow up and see how those numbers align.
Okay.
You know, the work is ongoing, obviously, so the numbers are changing constantly. But certainly we can cross-check that and get back to you.
Thank you so much.
And we'd like to offer our audience another opportunity to press star and one on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question of our presenters today. We'll pause for just a moment to give everyone a chance to signal. and we have no signals from the phone audience. Ms. Young, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Jim. And thank you again, Jen and Leslie, for participating in today's briefing. And I also appreciate all of you who joined for the discussion. As our work to ensure family unity continues, we'll keep you posted about our activities, and we do invite you to visit our website at www.supportkind.org for additional information. And if you'd like to have follow-up conversations to speak with a family member who has been reunited with their child or to pose additional questions, please, again, do not hesitate to reach out to Megan McKenna on our communications team for assistance. So with that, we will end the call, and I'll just say have a great day, and thank you very much again for joining. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's KIND briefing, and we thank you again for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines, and we hope that you enjoy the rest of your day.